Oh, yeah, boy, that, speaking of that moon, tonight driving to church, that thing is enormous and so bright. I've never seen the moon so bright in all my life.
You won't see it again until 2034.
Yep, 2034. And it's been 70 years since it's been this super moon.
48.
Wow, 1948, Israel became a state. Well, praise the Lord, church. Good testimonies tonight. Let's open up to 87. We are here. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Open up to 13. Hymn 13. We sang 87 this morning.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we'll go to Hymn 13, which also worships the King. All hail his power. We'll sing all four prior to our Sunday evening sermon. Getting cold.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him, Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him, Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel, praise ye ransom from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him, Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him, Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe from this terrestrial
singing tonight, and what a blessing to know that final stanza says that the day is coming when we will at his feet fall. We'll fall at his feet and we'll crown him Lord of all. I don't know about you, but I can't wait for that day, because any crowns I may happen to get are going right to Jesus Christ, because he did it and not me. He deserves all the glory for anything that gets accomplished in our lives. Oh, what a blessing, folks. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our Bibles at this time, folks. And please open up to John's Gospel tonight. John chapter 17. I've preached a number of times throughout my 20 years of ministry out of the Gospel of John chapter 17. Because there's so much material in John 17 to preach. A preacher could spend his career in it and never exhaust it. It's so deep. But tonight, folks, as we come to the Word of God, I've got a message for you. It's a message of reminder of our purpose, who we are and where we're going and what we're doing here. And Jesus Christ is just ours from the mock trial and crucifixion, Gethsemane, and Calvary. And in John chapter 17, Jesus, this is the Lord's Prayer, The one in Matthew 5 is actually the disciples' prayer, Our Father. This is the Lord's Prayer, John chapter 17, because the entire chapter he's praying to the Father for his disciples, including you and me. Isn't that good? Jesus wasn't thinking about himself on the eve of his betrayal and crucifixion. He was thinking about all of us who would follow him. And he has a very special message for us, applicable for today. Look with me in John chapter 17, verse 1. We read, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Drop down with me to verse 9, beloved. Verse 9 we read, "I pray for them." He's praying for them all through the chapter, including you and I. "I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." 15. "I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Go with me to chapter 20, John chapter 20. And we'll read one verse and pray and preach. In John chapter 20, look with me at verse 21. "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Beloved, I want to preach a message tonight I've entitled, "So Send I You." So send I you. Father in heaven above, how we thank you for these two incredible passages where the Lord Jesus Christ makes it absolutely crystal clear to those of us who would choose the cross, those of us who would choose salvation, those of us who would choose us, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our personal Savior from sin, that he sent us. And Lord, I'm so thankful that in each of these passages, he shows us how he has sent us. And Lord, I thank you for opening the eyes of my understanding concerning these passages. And I pray your Holy Spirit would enable us to glean spiritual truth tonight from these passages, that we might see the glorious truth of how we have been sent as sent ones tonight. We thank you for it ahead of time in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Beloved, it is essential that you and I, as God's believing people in the world today, realize that we have been left here to occupy in Jesus' stead till he comes back. And that as the Father sent the Son into the world, even so has the Son sent you and me after the same manner and for the same purpose that he was sent. Now, in order for us to see our true character as sent ones, we must first understand how the Father sent the Son. That makes sense. If we can come to the point where we realize how the Father sent the Son, as the Son said, as the Father sent me, so I send you, we'll understand how the Son has sent us. Amen? Now, however that is, that the Father sent Jesus, Jesus said, "So send I you. So send I you." I want to speak on "so send I you" tonight. I'll give you six things concerning it. First, how was he sent? First, he was sent as one who did not belong to this world. Amen? Go back to chapter 17 of John's Gospel. Jesus Christ was sent as one who did not belong to this world. Look at it in John chapter 17, verse number 5. "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." So whoever Jesus Christ was, it has nothing to do with this world, because he was that before the world was. See that? Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Jesus says they are not... Look at verse 14. I have given them thy word, the Bible, and the world hath hated them. Why? Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Beloved, the very first thing that Jesus Christ points out is that the Father sent me not of this world. And that as he sends us, we are to be not as this world. Now, he made the world. We know that. But the world knew him not. Listen, he came as the Son of God, not Joseph. And now, are we the sons of God? Beloved, our Father is not of this world. He's in heaven, right? Our Savior was not of this world. So neither are you or I of this world or its evil system of darkness, having been saved out of this world and separated from it by a new divine life within, imparted to us by the Holy Spirit, we are now sent into this world as witnesses against it. Oh my, we're not going to be popular. We are ambassadors to this world for our Heavenly Father in Jesus' stead. Jesus is not here, folks. Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of God, and he, like the Father sent him, has sent us to do a job. Amen? In John chapter 18, look with me at verse 33. In 18:33, we read, this is Jesus Christ before Pontius Pilate. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Jesus Christ makes it clear to Pontius Pilate that his disciples are not of this world because their kingdom is not of this world. Our kingdom is the kingdom of heaven, folks. Our kingdom is the kingdom of God. And that makes us not of this world. Recently, a woman was trying to explain to a friend her newfound faith in Jesus Christ. She was a new convert. It seemed that she wasn't getting through to her at all, trying to describe the great transformation that had come over her since being born again. So she said, just one letter of the alphabet makes all the difference between us now. And what letter is that? Asked her friend scoffingly. Oh, it's the letter L, she said. For you, love the world. For me, I love the word. The word. Eliminate the letter L. She said, that's the only difference between you and me. You love the world, I love the word. And that's the true difference between every true believer and a lost soul. We've got to show them the love of God. Beloved, the first of all, he was sent as one who did not belong to this world. So send I you. So send I you. But secondly tonight, quickly, listen carefully. He was sent in love to the world. Hear what I said? He was sent in love to the world that he was not of. Isn't that amazing? Look with me here in verse 3 of chapter 17. He was sent in love to this world, and he did. Look at verse number 3. We read, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now notice here, Jesus Christ was sent, verse 3, in order to glorify the Father and reveal, look at what he says in verse 4, I finished the work. What work? The work of redemption. the work of salvation, the work of atonement for our sins. Why did he do it? Because he loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his own life that we might be redeemed. Isn't that beautiful, folks? I'm so thankful that he was willing to do it. Listen carefully. It was the love for the perishing that constrained the Father to send the Son. And that love was perfectly reflected by the Son to this lost world. Let me make a statement. How much you and I love the lost will reflect how much you and I love the Lord. Because the Lord loved the Father supremely. And he loved the world enough to give his own life. Oh, how we need to love this lost world to Jesus Christ. There's too much of this Bible bashing where we hit them over the head and tell them they're going to hell. Yeah, that may be true, but that's no way to win them. We need to love them to the Lord. The question is this. Does this love of the Father and the Son to the world compel us to love them? So many times we look at the lost and that dirty, rotten wretch, they'll never get saved. Well, maybe they won't. But we need to at least love them. Folks, let me make a statement. You and I, as God's people, need to love everybody. You hear what I said? We need to love everybody, not just the brethren. It's easy to love the brethren. Hey, we love each other because we both love the Lord. But we need to love the lost. We need to show them his love. Now, Romans 5:5, don't turn there. It says, because the love of God is shed abroad, that's to people, in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which he hath given us. How can we love the unlovable? Only by the Holy Spirit within. You now have a way of loving the lost. It's the Holy Spirit that's in you. He loves that poor drunkard in the gutter. He loves that crack-addicted prostitute on the street corner. He loves that homosexual dying of AIDS in the hospital. He loves that man addicted to pornography on the internet. He loves them, and he wants them to come to the foot of his cross, folks. Do you? Do you? Do you love them the way he loves them? He looks beyond their sin and sees their soul. You hear me? He looks beyond their sin and sees their eternal soul. Oh, folks, in John chapter 3... Turn back to John chapter 3 for a minute. I want you to see this firsthand. Look at this verse. Everybody knows John 3:16. Even lost people can quote John 3:16. But look at this. In John chapter 3, look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I love that verse. I quote it often to lost people because I want them to know that God didn't come to send them to hell. He came to save them from it. How did he send them? He sent them with great love for the lost world. Look at verse 16, if you're still there. Verse 16, for God so loved the world. Now, Calvinists will tell you, oh, that's the elect. Wrong. I have no problem rebuking those guys, because they're unscriptural and their false doctrine's got to go. For God so loved the world, that's the lost world, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son in love to the world, and his Son sent you and I in love to this world. Walter Baxendale, the great author, wrote of an aged man of over 90 years old. He said the old man's pastor asked him this question just days before his death. My dear aged friend, I need to know, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? The old man's deeply furrowed face suddenly lit up with a smile that 67 years of discipleship had imparted. And grasping the preacher's hands with both of his, he said, oh, preacher, I can tell you something even better than that. What's that? Asked the minister. Oh, sir, he said, he loves me. He loves me. The old saint knew that it didn't matter how much he loved Jesus. What mattered is that Jesus loved him. And he took his final breath and went to be with Jesus. Beloved, he was sent in love to this world. So send I you. But thirdly, tonight,
He was sent to reveal the character of God to man. Look at verse 6 of chapter 17. Back to our text in John 17. Look at verse 6. He was sent to reveal the character of God to this world. Did you know that we could never know what God is like if His Son didn't come and show us a perfect reflection of Him? That's what He did. Verse 6. I have manifested. That. What's that word mean? Begins with an M. Made known. I have made known thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they've kept thy word. Now, beloved, listen carefully. In John chapter 14, flip back a couple pages. I want you to see this. Because in John chapter 14, Jesus Christ makes an incredible statement concerning the character of God. Watch this. And in John chapter 14, look at verse number 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that had seen me had seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Look at it. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. You know what Jesus was saying here? He's saying the works that I do reveal God the Father to you. It shows you what He's like. It reveals His character to the world. Jesus came on a mission. He wanted to show us what God is like. And it is, isn't it a beautiful picture of what He's like? He's full of love. He's full of compassion. He's full of mercy and grace. That's our God. And Jesus showed us His character. Jesus could truly say that I and my Father are one. We're one in nature, we're one in likeness, we're one in purpose. Now, that's because Jesus was sent to reveal God's character. That is what God is like to this world. And He did. The question is this evening, are you revealing to this world what God is like? If we took a poll and asked all of the people in your life that know you, is that person reflecting what God is like to you? I wonder what, we're not going to do this, but I wonder what the poll would come back, guilty or not, like God or not. Because Jesus Christ, listen to me, Jesus Christ always brought pleasure to the Father and reflected His glory to the world. What about you and I? Jesus said, so send I you, that we would show the world what God is like. Wow. You know what? Some people will never come through the doors of this church. You know that. You know what that means? It means the only Jesus they'll ever see is you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me. We may be the only Bible they ever read. We may be the only Savior they ever see, the only Jesus. How important it is for us to show them the true Jesus, the true Lord. Amen? Now, you know why I believe by many people won't get saved? I believe it's because Christians who are saved don't act like God. And it turns them away. Nothing will turn a lost soul away from the Lord Jesus more than a backslidden Christian. They'll say, that guy's a Christian? And you want me to become one? Oh, folks, the awesome responsibility. Go to John chapter 10 that God has given us. We need to show them God's character by the way we live. Look with me here in John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know what He's saying? He's saying, my sheep, my people, are going to be like me, because they're following me. They're hearing my voice. They're acting like me. In chapter 12 of John, chapter 12, look with me at verse 25. Jesus says, John 12, 25, He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world, picture of a true Christian, shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. That means we need to walk the way Jesus walked. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Jesus is trying to convince his disciples to act like him. He's saying, follow me in your daily life. Act like me in your daily life. Show the world me through your life. Wow, what a responsibility we have. They follow Jesus in showing this world what he's like. Dr. Wilbur Chapman told a story of one of his friends. He was a boyhood companion of his. The boy was a boyhood companion of Tad Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln's son, Tad. They grew up together. They both entered the Civil War as soon as they were of age to do so, like 17. They found themselves fighting on the front line of a heated battle between the North and the Southern armies. The young man turned to his best friend, Tad, and said, Tad, we're going to get killed out here. Why don't you write to your dad and have us transferred to some easy guard duty? Oh, no, 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 never, said Tad. Do not be afraid, my friend, for we are in God's hands. Tad Lincoln said, do not be afraid, for we are in God's hands. You know what Tad Lincoln was doing? He was revealing the character of God in him, which his father instilled. He was a man of God, Tad Lincoln. He said, don't be afraid. Trust God. We're going to be okay, whether we die or not. I love it. Oh, folks, how we need to reveal the Father's will, like Tad Lincoln did. Folks, he said, so send I you. So send I you. But fourthly, quickly, he was sent to declare the word of God to this world. Back in chapter 17, he was sent to declare the words of God to this world. Look with me at verse 7. We read, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words, plural, which thou gavest me, and they have received them. And I have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou hast sent me. Drop down to verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. It is one thing here that Jesus makes absolutely crystal clear, that what he spoke when he was on earth was the words of God. He gave us the words of God. Amen? Now, how faithfully, think about this, how faithfully did the Lord Jesus deliver the words of the Father to this world? Beloved, words are important. Amen? Like our Savior, we must dutifully discharge the divine words of our God. Because your opinion, your thoughts, your feelings really don't matter. Neither do mine. It's what God says about it in His Word that matters. That's what the world needs. Why do I get up at this pulpit and spit and preach and go on with a big mouth Baptist preacher here? Why? Because the words of God is what matters, not the words of men. Oh, you can go anywhere and find the words of men. Just go down to the secular university down the road here, UNH. Go to Boston College, go to Harvard, go to Yale, and you'll get the words of men. Men who reject this book and its author. Oh yeah, I'm going to preach the words of this book till I die, thank God. John 6:68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus' words are the words of eternal life. Wow. John 12, back to John chapter 12. Look at this. In John 12, drop down with me to verse 44. In 44 we read, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. You know what Jesus just said to them? He said, I didn't come to condemn anybody here. I came to give you the words of my Father, which will give you eternal life. If you what? Begins with a B. Believe them. You have to believe these words in order to go to heaven. It's so simple. He was sent to declare the words of God, and every word that came out of his mouth was the word of God. Let me make a statement, beloved. When you give out a gospel tract, when you quote a verse to some lost soul, when you try to tell them about Jesus, you're not giving them your opinion about it. You're giving them God's word, which they can trust. Amen? I'll tell you what got me saved. And it wasn't my sister. It was the words of God she gave me. She said amen to that. It was the words of God she gave me. Hallelujah. Sometimes we give people too much credit. Oh, so-and-so's my spiritual father. Well, you got one father, even God. I'm glad he led you to the Lord, but don't idolize him. The Bible is like no other book. We commonly speak of the 66 books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But in reality, there is only one book, the Bible, consisting of 66 chapters or letters. They are all written by the very same author, the Holy Spirit of God. They have one overriding message, redemption through God's Son. There is no other book like it in all the universe. 40 different human writers were used, from Job to John, taking over 1,500 years to complete one book. And from fishermen to philosophers, they never contradict one another, but are all in perfect agreement and harmony. That's a divine book you hold in your lap. It's a King James Bible. Beloved, as he was sent, so must we also be sent to declare the words of God. So send I you. So send I you. But fifthly, quickly, he was sent to live a life of self-sacrifice. Oh, can we skip this one, Pastor? Nope. Why? Because he was sent to live a life of self-sacrifice. Look with me back in our text in John 17. Look with me at verse number 4. John 17, verse 4, we read, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Time out, church. What work did the Father give Jesus to do? Get crucified? Yep. Lead a sinless life for 33 years? Yup. Live in perfect harmony with the will of God and the word of God? Yup. It was a life of self-sacrifice. And he said, I finished it. I've done it perfectly. That's self-sacrifice, amen? Go drop down to verse 15. Watch what Jesus says. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Why? I'll tell you why. Because we are sent by the Savior to live a life of self-sacrifice. Look with me at verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Set apart for holy use. 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, through their life of self-sacrifice. Folks, listen to me. Somebody in your life, long ago, came along, living a life of self-abnegation, that is self-sacrifice, and they showed Jesus Christ to you, and you got saved. But what if nobody came along? Folks, we need examples today. Not Madonna, not these evil Marilyn Manson Satanists. We need godly examples to a lost and dying world, that they can see Jesus Christ in you. Amen? That we can live a life of self-sacrifice for them to see God working within us. Now listen, he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And are we willing and ready as he was to yield and surrender our lives wholly for the glory of God the Father? And what a privilege this is, beloved, to give our lives so that we might minister the eternal things of God to weary, perishing souls all around us. You know what that's called? That's called a sacrificial life. Matthew 16:24. Don't turn there. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know what Jesus was telling them? He says, you want to be a Christian? You sure you want to follow me? It's a life of self-sacrifice. Look at a life of self-denial. He uses the word deny. It's a life of yielding to his spirit. Vernon Hott tells us that the cedar tree is a perfect symbol of the Christian life. Why? He says, I quote, it grows by dying. As the cedar tree develops stately and beautiful, putting forth new boughs and leaves, the old ones drop off to give strength and sap to the new ones. Likewise, Vernon says, the saints of God do live to die and die to live. This is the principle of self-sacrifice. You see, the cedar tree is continually sacrificing its own limbs in order to make new ones. You hear what he said? The cedar tree is continually sacrificing its own limbs to make new ones. Are you willing to sacrifice your own life to make new disciples of Christ? Beloved, you and I must be willing to live a sacrificial life as Jesus did. Why? So send I you. So send I you. Now, we've seen that he was sent as one who did not belong to this world. So sent he you. And we've seen that he was sent in love to the world. So sends he you. We've seen that he was sent to reveal the character of God to the world. So sends he you. We've seen that he was sent to declare the word of God to the world. So sends he you. We've seen that he was sent to live his life of self-sacrifice. So sends he you. But one more. He was sent to equip us with divine power. Look with me in verse number 21, chapter 17, 21. Don't miss this. He was sent to equip us with divine power, something no one else in the universe could do. Look at it, 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. What? That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus Christ just prayed to the Father that his love would be in you and me, and that he would be in you and me by his Spirit. Oh, church, I've got a message for you tonight, and that is this in closing. That he sent Jesus Christ to equip us with divine power, and now he sends us out as sent ones with that divine power. Notice it's Christ in you, verse 26, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. He wants to do a work through your life. He wants to operate by his Spirit through you to reach others for the cross, to reach others for the kingdom of God to which we belong. Oh, beloved, how we need to realize that we have been sent just as Jesus Christ was sent. In closing, let me give you this, I'll be done. Walter B. Knight writes, it was the custom of the God-fearing Judge Daniel Glenn of Missouri to stand and pray with his eyes always open in the court. A friend once asked him, Judge, why do you always pray with your eyes open? He quickly replied, oh, because the Bible tells us to watch and pray. Then the judge reminded them of John chapter 17, saying, did not our Savior lift up his eyes to heaven while praying and thanking the Father? Then Judge Glenn said this, after all, it's not the posture of the body or the closing of the eyes which causes God to hear our prayers, but rather it is the posture of the heart. And if there be no iniquity there, then God will surely hear and answer our prayers. You know what that old judge was doing? He was reflecting Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. He said, I want to be like my God. and I want to reveal that to the world. Beloved, our Heavenly Father wants us to desire and to long to be like His Son, our Savior. That's why He said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, I want to close with a question tonight, and I don't want you to answer out loud. In your own heart, think about this. Do you desire more than anything else to be like Jesus? That's what this message is all. Why are you preaching this, Pastor? Oh, because I want you and me to be like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. Did you hear what I said, world? I want to be more like Jesus. Why? He sent me. He sent me to be like Him. He sent you to be like Him. Father in heaven, I would thank you tonight, for so send I you. I thank you that He didn't send us just any old way we feel like, but He sent us in a very definite pattern. He set the example that we should follow His footsteps. Lord, I thank you tonight that as you sent Him, Jesus Christ, to this world, Jesus Christ has sent us. What a message of responsibility. What a message of accountability before God we have tonight before us, O God. We thank you, Lord, that the truth has been preached, that you desire your children to be like Jesus. Father, I love that verse in 3 John, down around verse 2. It's John wrote by the Holy Ghost. He said, I can hear your voice, Heavenly Father, in this verse. He says, I have no greater delight than to hear that my children walk in truth. Lord, I'm so glad tonight we can put a smile on your face. We can do those things which are well-pleasing in your sight. And we can please you, O God, by walking in truth. We thank you for it tonight in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, people. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. We shall sing a hymn of invitation. Let's open up tonight to 260. Hymn number 260, a fitting hymn indeed to finish up with tonight. Because of the one that sent us, we need to sing about His dear friendship to us. In hymn number 260, we will sing the first and the last. The first and the last. The altar is open if you need it. Aha! Greatest friend you'll ever have, Jesus Christ, first and last. Think about it. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs covered. Just take it to the Lord in
indeed. Praise the Lord, people. Remain standing for prayer as we dismiss tonight. Don't forget Wednesday night at 7 if you can. Father, how we thank you for the encouragement we find tonight in your preached word. That as we realize the awesome responsibility we have as sent ones by the Son of God, that we are to reflect your glorious face. We are to show the world the love of Jesus. We thank you tonight for the privilege of being sent ones. Lord, there's no place else on earth I'd rather be than to be a sent one by the Son of God. Lord, that makes us very special in the eyes of heaven, not in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God. We are special because we've been sent by thy Son, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for the privilege tonight. Lord, my prayer in closing, help each and every one of us to be faithful ambassadors, that's representatives of the kingdom of heaven and of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might take some souls with us to glory when it's all said and done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and the people said, Amen. 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 Folks, we'll see you Wednesday night.